Welcome back to Mental Health Matters. We got a great show and a full house today. Today we've got three guests in the room, and we are talking about storytelling and mental health. Really interesting topic today. Okay, so you're listening to KRUU 100.1 on your FM dial. And these shows are archived at KRUUFM.com. And they're also archived on YouTube. And you can go to Arden Counseling Center on YouTube and you'll see them all there. Which is really cool to see the videos of these. And you could go to Arden Center. Ardent, A-R-D-E-N-T, center.com, and you go to the media tab, and you can see YouTubes, iTunes recordings, regular recordings, just audio recordings. We've got like all different formats, really interesting stuff. So take a look at the old shows. There's some really good ones in there. Today, so Nicole, tell us who you guys are and what we're talking about.
Okay, Scott. Yes, my name is Nicole Hester Williams, and I am here today. I work at the, I work at the Fairfield Ledger. I'm a news reporter there.
Real news. Which is
real
interesting.
News. And I actually do the news. That's my thing.
No, but
news,
it's an
news.
Interesting thing related to today's topic, isn't it?
It is.
Because what is real? Mm-hmm. What is news? What is a story?
Right.
And then how do we get lost in our stories? Mm-hmm. You know, I start most of my new therapy sessions, and I say, you're about to tell me a story.
Right?
And I'm going to say to them, stories are your creation. They have meaning and purpose because you've given a meaning and purpose. It doesn't have any meaning to me or to anybody else except the meaning that you're about to give it. Yeah. The important thing is not what is the story. Terrible story, bad stories. I get the worst stories that you could ever imagine have ever happened to a human being. The story isn't important. What's important is, what are we doing with our stories to give it power or to create possibility of transformation? So, anyways.
Wow, that's something else. Well, I get to write about all those stories that people bring. Some of them are good. Some of them are not so good. Some of them are horrible. But the most important thing I think that I do is to be able to get that story out there so that other people, I think that's the way that we learn here in this world, and to have compassion for others as well. So,
well, I love that because that's, well, Mel.
So, hi, this
I
is.
I mean, because that's really it, isn't it? It's really about
teaching,
but also compassion.
Yeah, that's a wonderful idea of storytelling. I'm into technical storytelling, basically. So because, I'm like this. This is Dr. Pramila Bahadur. I'm working with Maharishi University as professor. So I teach computer science students, and I tell them many beautiful technical stories and how technology has really evolved and how does it make sense to us.
Right.
But even with those stories, it's still the same thing. Okay, those technical stories. And then how am I applying that story? Right? Because it's really about application. Right?
Right.
So
right.
How am I applying it?
It is the story that you really absorb, actually.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes. And our special guest, Mary, is back with us. Oh, I'm so glad you're here, Mary.
Thank you, Scott. I'm Mary Platt. And I am a storyteller. I, for many years, worked as a quote-unquote professional storyteller. And my love is actually traditional stories, oral stories, folk tales, and fairy tales.
Wow.
And you could hear the room.
Yeah.
Everybody like, oh.
My mind just went to Anansi. Do you ever tell
that? Anansi stories.
Yes, I love those stories.
I know. And the funny thing is that when I, as a young child, I lived in the world of folk and fairy tales. I acted them out. They were, I think, much to my parents' dismay, a huge part of my life. But but when I actually began to study folklore and mythology and really take it into myself, I began to understand that these stories they take place in the realm of the imagination, but they are actually tell us and describe in the language, using the language of metaphor and image, what it is like to be a human being in this world.
That is very important.
Yes.
I always remember the stories from Cinderella, Alibaba, etc., right. etc.
Absolutely.
And this is how we have grown up, actually. So, like, I remember the story of a princess and seven dwarves.
Yes, 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 yes.
Oh, my goodness. Can we have a few wonderful stories today?
Yeah.
Are you going to give us some stories today?
I'll give a story, a short story or two.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah,
absolutely.
But something that I was going to say is I think it also helps us work out who we are in dealing with our, for instance, jealousy and Maleficent, you know.
Absolutely.
We're able to look and see how we can change those things around. It's not just that I'm having an issue, but how do I resolve that issue and still be able to be a whole person afterwards? And I think fairy tales can do that for a young person.
Absolutely, sure. They can. And there's something about a lot of these old fairy tales and folk tales that have a complete sense of justice, even if there's violence in the fairy tales.
Right.
And actually, the old Grimm's fairy tales, if you read the originals, they're pretty graphic.
Yeah.
These days, kids have such graphic images in front of them, graphically mm-hmm. violent images in front of them, that I'm not sure if I haven't actually resolved this with myself. But I'm not sure if using softening that violence is not a good idea right now because the kids have that in front of them.
I totally agree to you because the kind of graphics they might see can be affect their brains. And hearing the same story from a storyteller might mild it. And the beautiful part about these stories is like good prevails over evil. You take any story.
That's
right.
Right.
There's a sense of justice.
You know, I think it's interesting when we start bringing up video games. Which are a whole nother subject. We could have just lots of talks on that, right?
Yeah,
and the addictiveness and, but the point is that, again, that story has become muted and the metaphor and the possibility
has been
destroyed.
Yes. It has.
And so when you're talking about the metaphor of the story and what is it actually, how we can take that.
Right.
And it doesn't matter if it's like taken out of the realm of, again, Nicole's here, comes from a very much more religious background, who takes, when you start looking at biblical kind of things, or we could talk about the Gita, or we could talk about, any ancient text from any religion, the Quran, whatever it is, and, beautiful and powerful, but we take it to that next level of it's not just a story, if I want to see it as real or not real.
Yeah.
You guys are nodding your head. Go ahead.
Yes, Escort. I just quickly want to add that these stories, they just make you as a human being, actually.
Yes.
They give you a character. They gives you a sense of understanding and sense of justice, what is right and what is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
By doing these stories, I mean, you are just trying to learn. This is how we are trying to evolve as a human being, actually.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. They give us more empathy. Because when people listen to stories or read good literature, they're able to enter into the skin of another person and experience that person's
life. And I think that's so remarkable. Mm. That is so remarkable.
I think this is the problem with the video game age, is that you lose the sense of metaphor, and all you have is fake realism.
Yeah.
Just like the fake news that we're talking
about.
Oh,
my God.
Yeah. Like, what is real and what isn't.
Right.
And we lose the power of that metaphor, that power of what can we learn from that story, even if it's, let's say, even on a subconscious level or whatever level.
Right.
And it doesn't matter if we're talking Shinto in Japan or we're talking, Indian, the great Indian literature, or we're talking, like I said, the Quran has so many powerful, beautiful verses. It doesn't matter what it is. It still comes back to what's beyond that story, even if I am a true believer in Christianity. Okay, fantastic. Then still, what are we doing with that?
Right.
How would you say that, Nicole? Am I saying this correctly?
No, I absolutely agree with you 100%. I remember growing up and hearing those stories, and I can give you something that is kind of a contrast to that. Hearing these stories growing up, hearing how Joshua won the Battle of Jericho, and hearing how David fought Goliath, and in your mind you've got all these stories, and it's like, wow, I kind of aggrandized these things as I was growing up, and just imagined myself there. And whenever I had a chance to actually go to Israel, and see things, it wasn't such a rosy picture.
Right.
The Philistines, you know, you're talking about all these wars and what God wanted. And, you know, and whenever you see this in person,
it's not very black and white.
It's not. And it's, in fact, it's a lot of pain associated with it. So I think that the biggest thing to remember is like you all were saying, it's that moral to the story. What are you gaining from this? What are you pulling out of it? It's not so much always that this has, that you have to be a winner, that there has to be a winner and there has to be a loser.
Right.
It's just what values are you getting out of it?
Exactly. And actually, in some traditions, like the Celtic storytelling traditions of long ago,
lovely,
beautiful, beautiful traditions, there were, they understood that words and language are actually energy. And so there were very specific stories that were told, for example, when a couple got married. And it might not be a story about marriage. It might be a story about something else. But a story that had the energy to put this couple on the path to a successful relationship.